The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Come on.
Jeremy, are you ready?
I am ready.
Excellent. I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Money Savage Engage. This is George Grumbacher. Jeremy Pollack is a conflict resolution expert. He is the president of Pollack Peacebuilding Systems. He's a fellow at Stanford's Center for Internal Conflict and Negotiation. Excited to have you on. Jeremy, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh, thanks. Well, let's see, personal life, current personal life or?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm married with my wife and I have a sweet Labradoodle, and we basically have decided to pick up and not live a more traditional kind of settled life. And about a year ago, we started traveling and just been traveling around the country for about a year. Luckily, because of everything I've been able to run my company remotely, so I can kind of work from wherever at the moment. So having a lot of fun doing that. And then just during the week kind of working and doing what I do. So I'm working on my dissertation in psychology and sort of running my company in the meantime. We work with, primarily work with companies at this point. So I have a coaching practice that I work with individuals, mostly a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners, and doing sort of personal coaching. But then I'm through my company doing a lot of sort of larger organizations, consulting with them. I do a lot of training, actually training and coaching. So that's my forte. And then we have a lot of peace builders and mediators on our team that kind of go in and do interventions in companies that are having conflicts. Between employees or between executives and their either supervisors or subordinates, and just trying to help build more peace in the workplace as much as they am. So we have this sort of idea, based on theory of change model, in a capitalistic society that a lot of change kind of happens at the organizational level. So if we can affect change in the organization, we should be able to help sort of affect change in the greater society as well. So we're starting sort of at the ground level and working our way back up rather than the other way around.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, that's why I do it, because I'm just sort of, my mission in life is to help people find more peace in their lives between each other and within themselves.
Nice. Well, that's certainly an excellent mission right there. And I mean, it's for lack of a better term, it's like your Super Bowl right now, Jeremy. We got COVID.
I know, right?
We got politics. We got, I'm sure that there's a million other things that are ripping people apart, like social media and stuff like that. So it's this perfect snow globe of awful stuff happening, and it's just been shaken up. So what does a regular day look like for you right now?
My regular days? In an hour, I'm going to do a 2-hour training for a company. And then after that, I'll have some meetings with my team throughout the day about, just process logistical stuff. And then I'll do a coaching session later with an executive. So it's kind of mixed up, but you're right. You're absolutely right. There's lots to go around, and all the greater, political tension, social tension, tension surrounding the media, all of that sort of bleeds into people's lives, into people's workplaces. And they're kind of not only are they, I think, I'm seeing conflicts regarding the things that are kind of happening in greater society, but the conflicts that are happening are actually creating, I think, what I would might call intrapsychic or, you know, even interpersonal conflicts. In other words, there's these, let's say there's, you know, sort of there's issues in the greater society, which are, we're becoming hyper-vigilant about or hypersensitive to being offended in certain ways and based on social groups and that kind of thing. And then that kind of bleeds into society and, I mean, into organizations and people in organizations too, or even with their families now, or with friends now. I know people that are not talking to friends, not talking to family, having trouble talking to coworkers, not wanting to work with each other, all because of the current rhetoric on both sides of sort of the political or social spectrums that tell everyone they need to be hypervigilant about being offended and about offending. So everyone's walking on eggshells, and everybody's also hypervigilant about being offended. And it's really, I'm seeing a spike in everyone's ability to kind of cope with it, and then a spike in, you know, relationships breaking up because of it. So it's definitely a potent time.
Yeah, I really want to use curse words. I don't normally do that on the show, but it seems like a real shit show out there. Like, I'm supposed to be hypervigilant about all these issues, and I'm, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but maybe I don't feel that way, and maybe my coworker doesn't feel that way, and it's just,
yeah.
So, all right. So what's the way forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there's no easy answer, obviously, because the issues are so complex and multi-layered. You know, one thing that I think that I would say to people is, as much as possible, try to stay aware of the either social groups or social categories that you identify with, and in that also the groups that you don't. And so that when you meet people or that you're with people that you don't feel as part of your, what we might call an in-group, and they're part of the out-group. So even if I'm just like, you know, let's say I'm this one person's an older female, right? As a senior, like maybe in her 60s, and she's a female. And then she feels like she's being marginalized by the younger male, you know, at her company or something, because he's ahead of her. And so she starts thinking, it's because I'm older and because I'm a female, he doesn't respect me, and that kind of thing. You know, maybe that's true, but maybe it's not. And I would just start to question your assumptions about how people are thinking about you based on your particular social categories. Because if you start thinking this person's after me because he's that and I'm this, and that person's after me because she's that and I'm this, and you start thinking that way, everybody's going to make a mistake. Everybody's going to do something wrong ultimately, because you're going to find something that they've done wrong. And then they're going to start walking on eggshells. It's going to be harder for them to sort of be around you. And this is what breaks relationships up and ends up, you know, going to lawsuits and investigations and organizations. So as much as possible, I would say just, you know, try to stay aware of these, you know, what we call in psychology in-group, out-group biases. It's just the mind sort of creates these categories about where we fit in society. And then saying, well, that person's doing that because he's part of that group and because I'm part of this group over here, you know? And so, you know, it's not easy. It's definitely not, and it's uncomfortable to question your own assumptions and to question your own beliefs. It's really uncomfortable. But that's what I would promote. I would not promote. And I know this is maybe politically incorrect, and it's even hard for you on, like, you know, you're in a public medium, and you have to be careful about what you say potentially. I mean, if you care about that kind of thing, and I would just say I'm not going to promote people, you know, increasingly becoming more and more and more sensitive to what's going to offend everybody, because at the end of the day, you know, all of us are going to offend someone if we just be ourselves, because someone's going to be offended by it. So it's like, instead of going that direction, can we all just start to think of each other as like human beings, and human beings make mistakes, and human beings are also, they're not trying to offend us. A lot of times they're not trying to actually do something that's hurtful or insulting. And it's not fair to any of us for someone else to say, you did that because you're part of this social group. No, I did that because I'm a human, and maybe I made a mistake, or maybe I just didn't think about it, or maybe I didn't realize I was going to offend you. I didn't mean to offend you. And I just like, can we give each other the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Yeah. Amen. I've always thought that that's one of the most dangerous things that an individual can think, is that there are people out there who are out to get me. There are people out there who do not like me because of my age, my sex, my whatever.
Right.
I think that there's probably a million psychological reasons why that's a negative thing. And you can probably tell me about that, but yeah, it's to be able to take a big step back and remove myself from the situation and say, okay, I'm feeling like this. Why am I feeling like this? Is this really, is this true? Or was this put in my head? So I totally agree.
I think that those are great questions. And I'll say that, you know, when someone questions themselves and says, does this person not like me because they're part of that sort of group or something? Or because I'm part of this group. And when I say group, it's not even a conscious thing. It's like, does that person not like me because I'm this older white female? Or does that person not like me because I'm this particular race or something like that? Now, in some cases, that might be true. Like there are people out there that don't like sort of other people. And there's people out there that maybe, if we look at ourselves, there's people out there that we don't like because of some sort of, you know, category that we fit them in or something like that. And that's unfortunately a part of just the innate human psychological mechanism. And it's not an easy thing to get around, but I do like those questions. You start to question, you know, is this true? Is it true that this person doesn't? And if it is true, how do I know? What's my evidence? And you can't, and I would just say to people, because this is what I see at organizations, when people make a direct assumption right off the bat, that person doesn't like me because I'm an older female or something like that, right? And I would just say, well, how do you know that's true? Is it, you know, so and one thing to say is, you know, if you look at this like from a scientific perspective, is like, how do I provide evidence to support this theory? Is that person, is it clear that that person also treats other women in my category the same exact way as me and doesn't treat other people like that? And I think a lot of people will, you know, they'll find evidence to support even that theory. But going down that line of questioning, is that really true? Or maybe it's just me and him. We just don't get along. We don't see eye to eye. We have different perspectives. Maybe it's just an individual thing. I don't know. You know, so, and then if it's an individual thing, that's a much easier thing to tackle. Well, we can figure out what's going on just interpersonally, communication style differences, personality style differences. But when you put things into like, he doesn't like me because I'm this social category, that's much different, because now you're saying he's discriminating against me based on a category. And that gets into, you know, sort of deeper psychological things and also legal and you know, financial liabilities.
It strikes me that
I do like the question.
Yeah, that's just not a fixable problem, right? It's, well, I don't mean to.
I think it sets everyone up for failure, because you're right. And you know what? Nine times out of ten, I'm not going to say nine times out of ten because I don't know, but in my experience, anecdotally speaking, nine out of the ten investigations that are done about discrimination, whether it's age discrimination, gender discrimination, racial discrimination, when they do an investigation, the EEO comes in sometimes, the ones that I've seen, they don't find any evidence for actual bias discrimination. So they do an investigation, and the person claiming, hey, this person discriminated against me because I'm an older female, they don't find any evidence for that. And so then it just becomes, well, now if they want to hold on to this story, then it's like, there's no fixable, because the other person a lot of times is like, I don't feel that way. You're telling me that I don't like you because you're an older person. That's not how I feel. Seriously, it's not how I feel. It's just you and me are not getting along. That's it, you know? And it's really hard for people to accept that. It's like hard for people to accept this person doesn't like me because I'm an individual, just individually. It's hard to accept that. Instead, it's much easier to accept this person doesn't like me because of the category of it. Because then that doesn't put any responsibility on my actions. Hmm. It just puts responsibility on the other person for being some sort of jerk for not liking me because I'm in a category. If I take the category out of it and they get, the person doesn't like me because of my personality style or my communication style. Now it puts the responsibility back on my lap and goes, well, then I got to maybe think about what I can change to get along with this person better. So there is a little bit of like a victimhood thing that happens. And I don't want to say everybody that, you know, says people are discriminating against me are victims, because that's not always the case. There are sometimes people do discriminate, but in a lot of cases I see that where, you know, when you can become a victim of a social, social categorization, then, you take off the burden of responsibility. It's no longer your fault at all. There's nothing you're doing wrong. It's just because this other person is, you know, biased in some way.
And I totally agree. And that's, again, to my great fear is that you're giving away your agency. It doesn't feel like that.
Exactly.
But you're screwing yourself over. You are, and again, these are broad generalities, but that's just my take on that is when you hand over your responsibility in an interaction of any kind, you're giving away a lot of control and power to somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly right. It's all not doing anything wrong, and suddenly you've taken away your power, because now you can't, there's nothing you can do to change the situation.
Right.
And one thing that I help a lot of people with when I help, you know, sort of intervene in conflicts, is I really try to help people figure out what it is that you can do to better the situation. And I don't want to say you're doing anything wrong, because people have a very hard time hearing that. And I don't want to say maybe you're not doing anything wrong. Maybe it's just the fact that the way that you are and the way that that person is, just, it doesn't gel very well. And so you're going to have to put a little bit more effort into this relationship than you do most other relationships. But what can you do? What is in your agency? You know?
Yeah.
And it's a difficult topic, because even suggesting that it's someone's responsibility, you know, to take some ownership over the situation and put a little bit more effort in, and to not, you know, to not play the victim. That's a very, it's sort of a very, politically incorrect statement at this moment of like, you know,
right.
Because there's a lot of sort of victim oppressor talk out there about all kinds of things. And, to say, instead of thinking of yourself as a victim, if you honestly want to better the situation, if you just want to make the other person bad and wrong and punish them, you know, play the victim.
Right.
But if you honestly want to better the situation, don't play the victim, and instead go to this person and figure out, what can we do? What effort can we put in, both of us, to take responsibility for our own part and to start figuring out how to get along better?
That's really important right there, right? It's like, what is your desired result here? Is it just to get Steve fired, or are you interested in improving the situation and getting past it?
Yeah. Yeah. The mind has a very strong desire to be right,
mm-hmm.
because it fits in line with the image that we create of ourselves, is that we are, in some way, we are justified. We have high esteem for ourselves. We are right. We are, you know, and so to admit that we're not that we're wrong, but that just like that we're not necessarily the only one that's right here, that maybe there is some light on all sides, you know, between me and this other person. This person's, they have their right and their truth and their reality, and I have my right and my truth and my reality. And those are both, they're not mutually exclusive. They can both exist. And instead of me being right and them being wrong, we can come together and figure out, you know, how to get along a little better. It's tough to figure that out. It's like, how can I stay right, but also allow the other person to be right too? Because it's like binary. It's like, if I'm going to be right, then the other person has to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always like that. You know, I've been traveling through this country for the last year, and, you know, during COVID and during a lot of this social unrest and political tension and social tension. And I've seen so many different types of communities. I've gone through the South. I've gone through the middle of the country. I've gone to the East Coast. And, I'll say that, it, you know, sort of depending on where you are, people are like, especially in the South, I've found it's very diverse. At least in the areas that I was in, it's very diverse. And people are just getting along great in the areas that I work. Everyone is so friendly, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of age. Everyone's so friendly, and it didn't feel like there was any tension in the air. And then you go to other areas of the country, and there's just tons of tension, you know. And it was all about, to me, it was just like it came down to how people treat each other. I mean, if you just be a nice person and don't assume that the other person's out to get you, and just we can all be friendly, and that you know, it's like, and we don't have to like buy into the media's rhetoric. We don't have to buy into voices on either side of the aisle. You know, we can just, you know, be nice to each other, be good people to each other. We can choose to do that. You know, we can choose not to buy into the stories and just be good to each other. And that is, hopefully that's something that I'd like to focus on in my life and also help other people focus on.
That's right. And I think that it really can be that easy. At least that's a starting point to treat one another kindly, to be nice and just assume that that this person isn't out to get me because they look a certain way or I look a certain way. So,
right.
And just be a grown up, Jeremy. Be an adult in the situation.
That's important, man. We all have our inner children, you know, and our
for
inner
sure.
children get triggered and they come to the surface and they want to fight, and they want to
mm-hmm.
adult here, you know.
I love each other.
You know, it's funny. I had someone call me the other day, and it was someone that I like an associate of mine, and they were just like, "Can you give me advice? What would you tell a person if they were?" he said, "What would you tell a person if, you know, let's say you, I went to the beach with my, you know, my girlfriend, and we were just hanging out on the beach, and this is a public beach, hanging out on the beach, having a good time, having a little picnic, and then a couple of people come by and they're blasting this loud music, and it's offensive music. It's got curse words and stuff, and it's right near us, and it kind of just ruined the mood." And he's like, "Would you just go up to them and say, hey, you guys need to leave. You got to turn that down, or you need to leave." And I was like, "No, that's not what I would do. What are you talking about?" I'm like, this is a public beach. B, this is not all about you, and it's not your world. And C, if you don't like it, just leave. And I said, what I would do, if anything, I would go up to them and I would say, Who's playing on your radio and whatever they say, it sounds pretty cool. Have a nice day, guys. Happy New Year. And I'd walk away. Like, affirm them, validate them. Be a nice person. Don't be a jerk. Who are you, the police? You know what I mean? And he's like, "Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for that perspective. I needed that. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, it's just like really simple stuff. Be an adult. Be a nice person. Don't be a jerk. That's it, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
Simple.
Well, Jeremy, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip, even though I feel like that was a good one right there. What do you have for them?
I don't know if I could come up with a better one. You know, here's what I'd say. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume that they're out to get you. Don't assume that they're hostile towards you. Just give them the benefit of the doubt and be nice to them and talk to you. That's it.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets, come on. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Give them a little bit of grace. You know, I think that that's such good advice in every aspect of life, whether, you know, you get mad at somebody in traffic, you know, it's probably they're not trying to offend you horribly or wherever. So I love it.
They're not even thinking about you.
Right.
Don't make it about you.
Yes. Yeah. Probably don't even know you exist. So.
Right.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and how can people engage with you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, my company's website, PollackPeacebuilding.com, P-O-L-L-A-C-K, peacebuilding.com.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jeremy your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to PollackPeacebuilding.com. And check out all the great resources that that Jeremy's working on. Thanks again, Jeremy.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because again, we are all in this together. I know how important it is for me to hit reset, to refocus, reprioritize, and even reprogram myself every quarter or so. in order to make sure that my mind, my body, and my money are where they need to be. These days, we are all going hard constantly with so many demands on our time, our attention. And that's why I created the Strive Online Bootcamp, to be able to take a step back, to ensure that we're optimized in three key areas of our lives, our minds, our bodies, and our money. And I'd love for you to come with me on this two-week journey. You can click on the link in the notes of the show, or you can go to strivedetox.com. Check out the program. I'd love to have you a part of it.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.